understand this morning, you do have to seek them. He's not just going to drop it in your lap. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It takes some effort on our part, amen? It's not just something that's just going to come to us and just going to happen. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts, the 9th chapter. And if it's all right this morning, I'm just going to take my time and make sure that I get this out in the way that God wants it to get out. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink." I'm going to stop just there for a minute just to expound on that a little bit. We see here that Paul had his natural sight before he left to go to Damascus. We see that he was able to see things plainly, see things clearly, physically. But what Paul couldn't see is the spiritual things. He didn't have a spiritual insight. He didn't have spiritual sight. He couldn't look upon things spiritually because he didn't understand things spiritually. If you read there, he was charged with the ability to be able to bind and to imprison Christians. Not only that, but he had many Christians put to death. So Paul, spiritually speaking, couldn't see. He was blind. Paul never saw things more clearly than he did the day that the Lord took his physical sight. That was the day that Saul began to see things most clearly. The best that he had ever seen before. In a better way than he had ever seen before. Because now he's going to be able to see things spiritually, not physically. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's the 5th chapter, that we should walk by faith and not by sight. I wonder how many of us this morning do that. And put away the things that, because a lot of times, church, we'll see things in a way that it appears to be hard. But the Bible tells us not to worry about those things, not to be concerned with those things, but to walk by faith. Spiritually. Walk spiritually. Let your eyes be closed as far as your physical eyes, and let your spiritual eyes be open to see things in a different way. The Bible says that now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We're going to look upon Him one day, church. Each and every one of us, if we've been saved, if we've had the blood of Christ applied to us. Here's our problem this morning. We look at ourselves naturally. And I talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. We see ourselves as what we were. As what we used to be before we were saved. We see ourselves as unrighteousness because that's what we were before we were saved. But let me tell you this morning, when you start to see yourself spiritually, you will see yourself as God sees you. And when God looks upon you, He sees nothing but the blood. He doesn't see your past imperfections. He doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see your disabilities. All he sees is the blood of Christ. That's all he sees. And we have to realize and recognize and understand. See, we make light of his blood when we say, when we look at ourselves, and I'm talking to me this morning too, church. When we look at ourselves and we say we are incapable of, we are making light of the blood of Jesus. When we look at ourselves and we say, well, I did this in the past and I did that in the past, and God's not going to look at, we make light of the blood of Jesus, because the Bible says that when His blood was applied, that your sins were forgiven. Period. It says that they were cast from as far as the east is from the west, into the depths of the sea of forgetfulness. Never, listen to me this morning, church, not when He feels it needs to be done or when you deem necessary, but it says never to be remembered against you again. Period. It's not going to be. God will not bring up your past. There's two people that will bring up your past. It's the devil and it's you. Now, I'm not giving you a cloak this morning and saying it's okay for you to blame the devil, because somebody has to allow him to do it. And that's you. Alright? But God doesn't see our imperfections anymore. He sees the blood of Jesus when He looks at you. If you've had that blood applied, and if you haven't, there's nobody stopping you but you. It's you that's keeping yourself from having the things that Christ can give you. Because it's given unto all men liberally. Christ is not a respecter of person. What He'll give to me, He'll give to you. I can tell you that I'm amazed by that. Not that He would give it to you. What I'm amazed by is that He would give it to me. I'm amazed that He would save me with all the things that I did in my life. With all my past imperfections. With the things, listen to me this morning, church, nobody made me do those things. They were things that I chose to do. They were situations that I put myself into. But yet, Jesus loved me enough. Even though I chose to do those things, even though I chose to live contrary to His Word, He loved me enough to still die on a cross for me. To shed His blood for me, that I wouldn't have to live that way. Now I want to get a little bit further into the Scripture here. It says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord." Now see, Ananias can see spiritually. He's not looking at things naturally. Well, not yet. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Now see, here Paul's starting to see spiritually. Amen. "Said, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard..." Now here's the part where Ananias starts seeing physically for a moment. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered in the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and them was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus." At the risk of making this humorous, I want to say this morning I can't imagine what was going through Ananias' mind. I can't imagine, church, him being there. Just put yourself in this position for a moment. You're sitting there and you're praying for something to do. And many of us do this. We'll ask God for something to do. Because everybody that loves the Lord wants to be effective in the ministry. Am I wrong? So he's probably sitting there and he's saying, God, give me something to do. And the Lord says, well, go talk to Saul of Tarsus. Church, that would be the equivalent of the Lord telling you to go and witness and pray for Charles Manson or Osama bin Laden. Do you see what I'm saying? Somebody who has absolutely no respect for a Christian and would probably, if not spit in your face, probably kill you. So I can imagine, much like many of us, he probably said, excuse me, Lord, did you say Saul of Tarsus? Well, Lord, maybe I really ain't looking for something to do after all. Right? Have you ever been there? You pray, and I can tell you that when I first got saved, I prayed for over a year for something to do. And I tried to do all the things, Carly, that I wanted to do in the church. You know, there was things that I thought, that looks cool. I'd really like to do that. Man, I'd like to be able to play the guitar like him. And I went out and bought a guitar. And you know what? I couldn't play it like him. So I thought, the drums. Now they look easy. All you got to do is hit something. Make a little noise. It wasn't as easy as it looked. I thought, well, I'll sing. That was a tragedy of proportion. The whole time, church, the Lord was telling me, preach my word. Church, you will never be effective in anything until you do what He's called you to do. Amen. Until you give yourself over to Him and begin to live for Him and do what He has called you to do, you will never be effective in anything that you try to do for Him. You have to allow Him. You have to say, whatever it is, Lord. And I'm not trying to criticize Ananias, because Ananias, he went on and did what he had to do. He went on and did what the Lord asked him to do. But I'm sure, church, that there was some fear in his heart. Can you imagine what was going through his mind on his way to Damascus? Can you imagine how many times the devil jumped on his back and said, you're a fool if you go in there and pray for that man. He's going to kill you. Have you ever heard that? Church, I've had him tell me that. You better not go in that house and talk to them. Them people are maniacs. They will kill you. Well, you better not go and visit that person. They despise you and everything that you stand for. If you go in there, they're going to physically harm you. Can I tell you, whatever the Lord tells us to do, if He tells us to do something, He will not put us in harm's way. He will go with us. And He will prepare the heart of the one that you go to witness to and that you go to speak to. The Bible says it right here that He already had prepared Paul's heart. He had already showed Paul visions. He had already revealed Himself to Paul. And Paul was at a fertile state. When the Lord tells us to go and speak to someone, it's because He has already made them fertile. And all you have to do, church, see, here's the thing, is you don't have to make them accept the seed. You don't have to make them grow with the seed. All you have to do is drop the seed in the fertile ground. And what's the Bible say? That God will give the increase. Ain't that good? Praise God. I'm glad that He made my heart fertile. And He sent some women my way that probably looked at me and said, Lord, you've missed it this time. There's no way I'm going talking to that guy. He's out of his mind. Because I was. Not only was I out of my mind, I was spiritually blind. I had no sight of what spirituality was. Thank God. Thank God this morning that He changed my outlook. Another individual in the Bible that was spiritually blind momentarily in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. 2 Kings 6, verses 15 and 17. Or 15 through 17. See, Paul was a man who couldn't realize his true potential in life because he was spiritually blind. Now, this is a man who couldn't see what he had available to him until God revealed it to him. It says in 15 through 17, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" In other words, what's going to happen? "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." I'm glad this morning, church, that whatever I'm sent into, I am compassed, church, completely surrounded by the authority of God. I'm glad that when He sends me forth, church, He doesn't send me alone. I'm glad that I can look at things now spiritually and realize and understand and know that when I go into a situation, I'm not going into it by myself. But I'm going into it with everything that God has available. Do you realize this morning that everything that He has is available to you? You don't have to say, "I wish I had," I wish I could have." All you have to do is know and realize and understand this morning that everything that He has is available to you. Do you know why? Because when He looks upon you, all He sees is the blood. Thank God this morning that that's all He sees. Thank God that Christ came, gave His life for you and me, that we could be able to say, "I once was blind, church, but now I see. I see more clearly than I ever had in my life." Just as Paul, when he was on his way to Damascus, got the opportunity to see more clearly, and from that day forward, you can tell that Paul got something that day. There was something that happened to that man. Has it happened to you? Has it happened to you? Now you can say this morning, you can come to me and say, "Brother Rob, do you think that it happened to me?" I can't answer that. You can say this morning, "Well, Brother Rob, do you think that it happened to so and so?" I can't tell you this morning. But I can tell you one thing this morning. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it happened to me. It happened to me. Something got a hold of me that day. And it didn't make just a little bit of a change, church. It made a whole lot of change. I don't see things the way I used to see things. I don't look at things the way I used to look at things. Because I see things through a spiritual vision instead of a fleshly vision. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and start. I was just going to read a couple of verses there, but I'm going to go ahead and start at verse 2 and read through verse 9. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." He called us to glory and virtue, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Again, everything that He has is afforded unto us. "That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." We have to keep our spiritual sight sharpened, church. We have to keep close to Christ in order to do that, so that we don't forget that we were purged of our sins. Church, you've been forgiven.
Praise the Lord.
You have been forgiven of all your unrighteousness, of all your sin. Not because you were a great person. Quite the contrary. Because you were not a good person. Christ died on a cross, shed His blood for your sins, and is able to forgive you of all your sins. He is able, church, to make you see more clearly than you've ever seen before. But you have to allow Him. You have to seek in order to find. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, church, but now I see." That's your morning message. May God bless you and keep you, is our prayer.